You know, when I was talking with Pastor Wayne, and he called me and said, "Now I need to know about this combine," and we talked together and shared together, and they were so gracious. And as you know, we have a wonderful connection there. Wayne and I go way back to the day that he received the Lord, and then the wonderful things that have developed in the Gateway Faith Fellowship there. And Wayne and I just have a relationship that we so appreciate one another. And when I talked to him about this, and he told me about what Mike referred to there, he said, "You know, we got talking about this as I brought it to the church council," and he said, "Once we realized that we could do this and we could give $20,000, he said, we just began to laugh and rejoice." And he said, "It just took over." He said, "Just about, they had a hard time going on with their meeting. There was so much joy in it." And, you know, it reminds me of what the Bible says. The Lord loves a, a cheerful giver. I hope there's a joy in your heart to give this morning. And I hope that you find the principles of tithing and giving is never a principle of trying to get something from you, but to you. And that release, but what happens through that, of an understanding that you're investing in people that are going to come to know the love of Jesus Christ. You know, I often find satisfied saints who just think, if I can just get to heaven, well, that's good, but are you going to take anybody with you? And I pray that when you arrive in heaven, you'll hear these words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Because there are people who are going to arrive in heaven, they're just going to hear these words, "Well, you're done. You made it, but nobody else was able to make it with you because we didn't understand. We didn't understand what we could do that made a difference." And God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, wants us to not always be trying to do something big, but let's work together, and each one of us doing even a small thing, a great work can be done. Amen? We're better together, so I pray the Holy Spirit will make that real in your heart. I want to remind you about Saturday, April 7th, about the program for the Easter outreach. Please know that this is not something about the Easter Bunny. This is about an opportunity to reach out to families that would just come and enjoy. Sometimes we need to go where folks are at. I really care about lost people. I want us to reach out to them. God didn't say to the world, "Go to church." He said to the church, "Go to the world." Amen? And that's what we're doing. And if an egg will help, we'll hatch it. but we want to reach out, and sometimes just having fun and joy. The world looks for that. And so this is going to be a wonderful occasion. If you have any questions, talk to Pastor Jim Jr. They're putting this all together. And there's sign-up sheets out there that you can get involved. Make this a wonderful family event that we can share together. A lot of good things in the bulletin there for you to catch up with. And I believe the Holy Spirit will just make this such a rich, real time as we approach Easter. By the way, men, be sure to get signed up for our next men's meeting. I'm looking forward to what the Holy Spirit will do, as I've said to you, not just meetings, but a movement of men toward what God desires. So I appreciate that we can share in that way. As I talk to you this morning, I want to bring you a message about being a peacemaker. Matter of fact, would you just say this? I am a peacemaker. Yeah. Now, I think a lot of people would like peace, but the call in the Scripture is to be a peace what? Maker. You get to create something. You get to help create something that really brings the presence of the Holy Spirit. You help create an atmosphere in which the Holy Spirit can move and minister. So you get to be a peace maker. I think sometimes we understand how to be a peace breaker, but we don't know how to be a peacemaker. Amen? How many of you have ever been a peacebreaker? Don't raise your hands. We've all done that. And sometimes, you know, I'll just tell it like it is, you know. Shoot straight from the hip. I'd rather you shoot straight from the heart. It'll do a lot more good. Amen? And the Holy Spirit wants to make this so real to us today. And so I'm going to turn with you in Matthew chapter 5. And as I take off in the Word today, I pray that God will make this so real in your heart. I have really enjoyed the messages that Pastor Jim has been bringing us about what dwarfs relationships. Because if there's anything that you see in our culture today, it's all the brokenness that there is in hearts and lives. And we need to see a healing that happens in every heart, every home, that it causes us to understand the true riches of life, our relationships. And again, that's the only thing that will last for eternity. And relationships will cost you something. Matter of fact, love will cost you everything, but it'll give you everything you ever wanted. in fulfillment in your heart, if you really find that fullness that God wants to impart to you. In Matthew chapter 5 is the famous Sermon on the Mount. And I just want to pull out one portion of that verse of Scripture that tells us in verse 9. Blessed, and by the way, that word blessed means happy. How many of you would like to be happy? All right, and the rest of you, maybe by the end of the service, okay? can I tell you something? There isn't anything that would draw people to you, to the church, and to the reality of Christ more than if you have some joy. Because that joy has become a distant sound in so many hearts, in so many homes. Matter of fact, it says in the Old Testament that joy has withered away from the hearts of men. Now, it doesn't just go away, it withers away, because there's not something that ongoingly feeds that, waters that, and nourishes that. And I pray that God can give us a joy that's not controlled by circumstances. But in Matthew 5:9, it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Lord, that's our desire, that we would be called that, because that is our calling. And Lord, each one of us need to walk in that and understand the accountability of what it is to be a child of the King. Lord God, what it is to live out that life, what the privilege is that we can bring peace, that we can be peacemakers. Lord, there's plenty of people to be peace breakers, but we want to be able to make that room for the Spirit of God to come in, to move, to touch the hearts and the lives of each person, Lord, that we affect in the world. So, Lord God, I just pray, grace this day and awaken our hearts to what it is to bring your peace to every person in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when I talk about being a peacemaker, you can't bring peace unless you've got it. Amen. You can only give what you've got. And God wants to bring peace in the person. If you really understand that greater is he that can rule his own spirit than he that can rule the city, the understanding of what it is to let the rulership of Christ guide you and direct you. Otherwise, you'll take what God has said and his truth, but you'll be a transmitter of truth rather than being transformed by truth. And people can tell the difference. If you've been transformed by truth, it will humble your heart. And it'll cause you to have a compassion for other people. By the way, compassion means you really feel the pain of another person. When Jesus is moved with compassion, he felt their pain. He's touched by our infirmities. That means he's touched by our pain. He knows what's going on. And that understanding is so important. There's nothing that touches you that doesn't touch him. And when we understand that, we begin to see the grace of God that will guide and direct our hearts. And there isn't anything that grieves the heart of God more than these things that break our relationships. Because everything that Jesus Christ came for was to make relationships. That's why there has to be a peace. You can't have strong relationships without peace entering in. When Pastor Jim Jr. shares on this series, and I hope you'll get the whole series, on the outline last week, he talked about unresolved conflict. Now, I know nobody here had that, but I really took note on one of the things that he said in his outline. You want to be right, or you want to be wise. And I think sometimes we think you want to be right or you want to be wrong. No, do you want to be right or you want to be wise? I think sometimes wisdom doesn't always demand its own way, that you're able to see more than just the situation, the circumstances, that you're able to look beyond fault in people and see the deep need that's within them, and that God can truly give you the kind of wisdom that allows you to restore relationships, and he allows you to be able to see why many people, when they speak with wounded words and wounding words, is because they're wounded, and that God may just give us the wisdom to speak a word in due season, that God may be able to speak his word in a way that would bring healing and hope in their heart. So I think all of these things are something that we need to understand and work in and walk through as Christian people so that we have the wisdom of the Word. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and he will what? He'll give it to you. He really will. He won't withhold it. Chuck Shoemake was with us in a recent meeting at our camp, and Chuck works with all the pastors across the nation, and he does counseling for them. When pastors get burned out, and there's things that they need to deal with, or situations where they need counseling, and that's the man they can call, and he works with pastors from all over. He worked with our missionaries, tremendous man of God, and he was sharing with us and talking with us for several hours. And one of the things he talked to us about was the construction of the brain of a bird and the construction of the brain of a human being. Now, the construction of the brain of a bird is pretty simple. It has, it's got a pretty big brain for its size, really, but it's divided right in half. And one half is flight, the other half is fight. That's about what the bird does. Flight or fight, just reacts to one or the other. And the human brain, though, is a marvelous thing. Our brain is made to reason, to think, to plan, to learn, all these things. And then a little tiny portion is just where you just react like that. Now, let me ask you, in our culture today, what do we see most happening in people? Do we see the fact that we're learning and listening and developing and thinking? Or are we kind of like, have you ever heard the term bird brain? God didn't give us, we're not bird brain believers, amen? Yeah, and we're not jawbone believers either. Now, we really understand something. We're not wishbone believers either. I wish I may. I wish I might. Have the wish. I wish tonight. This is not a wish book. This is the Word of God. It's an understanding, though. We need to have backbone and listen to the truth and hear the truth and understand the truth and grow and mature in the grace of God and understand to use the good mind. We need to renew our mind, not remove it, and allow the Spirit of God to give us a sound mind. That means a healthy mind. The Holy Spirit so desires that we can walk in that way, because there's so much confusion in the world today. Many people today can't talk. They can't respond to one another. They just react to one another. Knee-jerk reactions, and we really don't hear what's being said. We're so defensive, we can't understand what God desires. I think it's the times that we get in like this, that the devil doesn't have to do anything. There's an understanding of the grace of God, though, that he wants to give, so that we begin to awaken and make a difference in the world that we live in. You know, in America, we only make up 6% of the population, but we take 90% of the tranquilizers. We are really an uptight nation. Matter of fact, one lady said, she said, I am so uptight, she said, I tell you, there's so many things pulling at me. She said, the only thing holding me together is my hairspray. Well, I don't know how long your hairspray lasts, but you better keep spraying if that's all you've got. But the Holy Spirit wants us to understand this desire that we have for beauty and wealth and health and power and things. All of those things will not bring peace. You can get them, and you may get what you want, but you won't want what you've got, because you still don't have peace. The absence of strife is not peace. The understanding of what God wants us to be able to experience is that if we don't have an understanding of the presence of the Lord, we will never have the peace in our life that He desires. In Matthew chapter 5, this nation, the Jewish people, have been brought to their knees by the Roman government. There is no peace there, and yet Jesus is saying, "Blessed are the peacemakers." But see, Jesus never came to bring universal peace. That will never be. It's not even in the Bible. What he wants to do is give us peace that we can share with people, because peace isn't something that Jesus Christ came to bring. Peace is a person, and he's it. Jesus came as the Prince of Peace. One Jewish Messiah, he said, I don't know about you Christians sometimes. He said, you call Jesus the Prince of Peace, and he's your Messiah, your Savior, and yet you're always fighting with one another. He said, I don't understand that. You see, God wants us to understand real peace that allows people to be able to love God, to love one another, and our differences develop us, not divide us as a body of Christ. We begin to see how the Holy Spirit can work that. We're called the children of God. That's your calling. Some people say, I don't have a call in my life. Yes, you do. You're called to be a child of God. There's no higher calling than that. The God that you can't look upon and live, the God that's so powerful with the light that shines and brightens the universe, is the very God that says, you're my child, and I love you. And that doesn't start in eternity. That's happening right here this morning, that he loves you that much. Listen, we need to understand about how much God loves us. I think a lot of us are like Peter. Always run around, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. And then the heat comes, and man, all of a sudden, you know, back to the old fisherman language, because I don't want to pay the price that love may cost. I tell you that Peter brings a lot of comfort to me, because he always had his foot in or around his mouth. But I want to tell you, the disciple I would like to be like is John. I'd like to be like John. Peter boasts on how much he loved Jesus. John boasts on how much Jesus loved him. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. John wouldn't use his name when he writes in Scripture. He says, I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. There was one man standing at the cross when Jesus was crucified. Who was it? John. Now, where was Peter? He just turned the air blue with his old fisherman language, and he's over but warming his hands by the fire of the enemy. And he got that all straight, and I thank God that he forgives us. Amen? And he'll still use us, and Peter becomes a marvelous instrument of God. But John is the man that understands. As a matter of fact, because John understood something that Peter didn't for a long time. Matter of fact, when Jesus comes to Peter and says, Peter, do you love me? He says, well, Lord, I really do love you, but if you look this up, you'll find out he's saying, I like you. And he says again, do you love me? And I really like you, Jesus. You know the third time that the Lord says this, when he says, Peter, do you love me? That's when Jesus comes down to Peter's level. And in the Greek, it says, Peter, do you like me? That's what broke Peter's heart. And that's when he was smitten in his heart, and he was grieved, because he realized the Lord came down to where he was at to bring him where he wanted him to be. If that's all you can say is you like me, Peter, then I'll come down there and I'll help you get back up here where you need to be then. Do you know Jesus will do that? He loves you that much. Listen, the big deal isn't about how much we love Jesus. If you understand how much you're loved, how much he loves you, our young people today, if they just knew how precious they are in the sight of the Lord, how precious they are in God's purpose, God's plan for their life. Oh, I tell you, you couldn't hold them back. And the Holy Spirit so wants to awaken us to that reality of what it is to know how much we're loved. Not because we're so good, but we have a good God. Amen? That's the reality. Well, that's what we can give God thanks and praise for, about his grace that's upon us. And not about our mistakes, but about the grace of God. That we see something about that peace is something that helps us, and we're not void of problems and pressures in life, but we have an answer. And the person, Jesus Christ, he brings his peace. You know, sometimes we get a lot of pressure from all our kids, our work, we get angry, we got addictions, we got all kinds of things going on in the world. Listen to the news, and all you hear is the turmoil that's there. But the Holy Spirit gives us an understanding in John 3:33, and this is the words of our Lord. He tells us this: this I've spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In this world you'll have tribulation or trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. I mean, he's saying, go ahead and get happy. Well, yeah, but Lord, you don't know. Yes, he does. And he's saying, we can still have a joy in the mix of that. You know, a person came to a pastor, and this dear lady just poured out all of her problems. She said, I am so sick of this. I am so tired of all the problems and all the pressure. I got this going on and that going on. I'm just sick of it. I just went out of it. I just can't stand it. Is anybody here ever feel like that? At least once? The pastor said, the pastor got his wife and said, we want to take you for a ride. And so he got her in the car. They drove out to the local cemetery. And he opened the car door and he said, get out. He says, when you get to where they are, you'll get what you want. No problems, no pressure. In this life, you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I want you to know the power of God's love. And we're called to defeat the giants. We're called to move mountains. We're called to believe what God can do. But most of all, you're called to know you're a child of God. If you don't know any more than that, you're okay. And you're going to be able to walk through things. And if it doesn't work out the way you think, you're still going to be all right. Why? Because God loves you. Because you're a child of God. That's the confidence you need to have. Don't look out here for your confidence in what's happening around you and your circumstances or even what you've prayed for. I want you to understand something about the fact that have the confidence because of who you're called to be, and Christ loves you, how much he loves you. If you can get that clear, God can do an awesome thing in your life. Christianity is not the absence from problems of life. Christianity is more about an understanding of life, not death. Christianity is about a transformed life, not just one that's listening to good news and being able to delight in the things of the world, but we understand how we can take the adversities and turn them into opportunities. We can look like a Joseph and say, what you intended for harm, God worked for good. Listen, that sounds like a simple statement, but you look at his dysfunctional family. You look at his own family, sold him into slavery. And all the things that he went through, and all the times that he was misunderstood, all the times that he was imprisoned, and all the things that happened to him for 13 years that went on. But in that time, he didn't allow the pit to get in him, though his family put him in a pit. He didn't allow the prison to get in him, though Potiphar put him there. There's something about the positive thing of knowing who you are that lets you go through all the garbage and come out with the grace of God. The Holy Spirit wants to remind us of that. We can understand that, walk with that, and see God's grace to help us. And by the way, I don't feel much when I'm feeling these things. I feel just like you do. And I feel the absence of the presence of the Lord, and I feel I want to give in to my feelings. But I want to tell you, my feelings and my emotions are one of the biggest liars I've ever run into. How about you? I have to listen to what God has to say. And then, Lord, help me, strengthen me to obey. But see, it comes out of the fact that I'm loved. If I'm loved, I can be led. If I'm loved, I can go through the places that are difficult. If I really understand that. Peace that passes understanding. Philippians 4:6, the Apostle Paul speaking out of prison. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. You know, you look at men like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three young men, and they're there in the fire. And there's certainly no peace that would come, but they would not bend or bow or burn because of the fact that they were going to obey what God had to say. They knew who they were. And because of that, you'll not bow to what the world says you are. But you know who you are. You're a child of God. You're a peacemaker. And you're not going to break that peace. That peacemaker doesn't mean that you can bring peace in everybody else's world, but you can bring it into your world because you're walking in him. You live and move and breathe and have your being in him. If his word abides in you, you can ask what you will. It shall be done. The grace of God is there to help you in what you face, the afflictions you go through. There's the fourth man in the fire with you. I always think of Daniel being in the lion's den. I want to tell you, I've seen a few lions, and that's one place I just wouldn't want to be. And those lions were hungry. And I don't know whether the angel of the Lord came and wired their mouths shut, or just took their appetite away, or just what the Lord did in the mix of that. But it's amazing because Daniel slept that night in the lion's den. He rested because he knew who he was. And he knew, even if it didn't work out, where he was going to go. And the king who put him in, Nebuchadnezzar, he spends the whole night up. He can't eat, he can't sleep. He's all worried. He's the one that's troubled because he had him thrown in there. And he's the one that comes and says, oh, Daniel, has your God been able to deliver you? And boy, I want to tell you something. When he came out of the lion's den, the guys that were responsible for him going in, they ended in there. And I want to tell you, all of a sudden the wire came off the mouth of the lions and they were destroyed. There's something about God's grace that wants to be there to help us. But it's so important to know that if you're a peacemaker, because of the presence of God, you can only be a peacemaker because you understand more and more about the person of Jesus Christ. I've tried to find peace, just a peaceful place. But the problem is every time I find a peaceful place, there's another problem. I'm there. Yeah, wherever I arrive, there's a problem because I'm still there. So there's no place that I can find peace if I can't find peace in my own soul. Peace, like a river, needs to flow in our soul. That understanding, peace, peace, wonderful peace, flowing down from the Father above is something that we can receive every day. He wants us to know that he can come in the midst of all the things that we face and give us an embrace. You'll never know the real peace of God till you face some storms. Some people are so busy running all the time and trying to get away from problems. They never know the power of peace that will come if they'll face a responsibility and problems and see what God can do in the mix of that and see God speak to those storms and bring a peace. And no matter what the storm does, you stand strong. because the Holy Spirit is there to help. I believe we need to understand and see the grace of God that's there. You'll never know peace till you get into the battle. Some people ignore the war, try to get away from any battles. We just draw back all the time, and the Holy Spirit's saying, no, you stand strong. Put on the whole armor of God. Fight the good fight. Have faith to be able to get involved. The Holy Spirit wants to awaken us in that way. You'll not know what peace is until you come to a problem in your marriage that you can't solve. And the Spirit of God helps you and gives understanding and brings you back to an understanding. It was God's idea for marriage. And all of a sudden, he becomes the center. It was never about just a man and a woman. It's about a man and a woman in love with Jesus Christ so they can understand what a marriage is. It's never an understanding about how great God is until you hit some of the problems with your health and realize doctors and nurses do a wonderful thing, but only Jesus can heal. The understanding about our wealth that can be challenged. Listen, with all that's going on in the world today, don't depend on uncertain riches. Amen. Matter of fact, I encourage you, be sure you invest in the kingdom of God. It's the only thing that's going to stand. I hope you remember in your will to remember some of the folks that go on mission trips. I hope you remember our kids in Cambodia in your will. I hope you do some things like that that live far beyond you. Well, every time I go over there and I look at that little picture of Bonnie and Cecil, I remember that Cecil, in the last 3 weeks of his life, changed his will. They didn't have any kids. And because they changed their will and they remembered to remember this church, that it paid for over half that building. And every time a little child comes to Jesus Christ in that building, I want to promise you, Jesus gets a reward. There's something about that, of what we invest in, that lives on forever. I'll tell you all these things that we see in life. He said, I didn't come to bring peace. I am peace. All the things that we face in life is a call for Jesus Christ. You know, everything about what the Lord did is to divide, but he does it with a sharp two-edged sword. A sword divides. Light divides from darkness, chaff from wheat, sheep from goats. It separates truth from the lies and deceptions of the devil. It separates slaves from sin to become sons of the living God. It separates sin from the soul and leaves us whole. The Spirit of God wants us to understand in Romans 5:1, it says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That peace that he wants us to have will never come by any of the things that the politicians do. And I want to remind you of that as we're in a political year. Amen. Oh, gosh. Sometimes, folks, if I didn't, you know, I get so serious watching Fox News sometimes. If I didn't let a little joy seep in my heart and say, Jesus, you've got this under control, I would be miserable. I want to encourage you to pray, get involved in whatever God leads you. And if you're to be involved in that, please do so and do everything you can. But realize there's a bottom line. And the bottom line is peace is a person. Amen? We can't get it through all the politicians and all the things that are going on. We need to understand how it is and what's going on between the Palestinians and Israel right now, and especially Israel, because it's the timetable of the world. But you need to look out there and see what's going on, the peace talks with North Korea. 2 weeks, it's good. 2 weeks later, they're going to shoot off some rockets. We need to see the peace that comes between races of people, peace between the poor and the rich, peace that happens between a husband and wife. It only comes through the person of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit so wants to awaken that. More laws, more lawyers, more politicians, and the things will not produce the peace that God wants to bring to us. We need a peace conference with the Prince of Peace. Amen. You know, I think that'd be a wonderful thing if the family at times sit down at the kitchen table and said, let's have a peace conference. I think it'd be a wonderful thing if you laid your Bible in the middle of the kitchen table and let it be the centerpiece. Say, this is our peace treaty. When we run into problems, we can find peace from the person that inspired the word. And it reminds us, we need visible reminders because we tend to forget and we begin to get caught up with all the circumstances. I want to tell you, David got so discouraged one time because they were talking about stoning him and everything because he'd been out doing battle, doing everything right, and the Amalekites came in and stole his family away, and everybody blamed him. And by the way, we always got to find somebody to blame, don't we? Everybody blamed him, and David is so distraught. But it says this, David went, and he encouraged his heart in the Lord. Now, how did he do that? He used words. I want to tell you, you talk about the power of words. Words are nuclear. More than I'm concerned about nuclear power blowing this world apart, though that time will come, and it's in Scripture, when you see about the fact of how the world will be destroyed. It describes it completely. But what will bring that about? The real trigger on that is the nuclear power of words that people speak. It blows up everything. And to understand that grace and how it is that David spoke words that came into his own ears, he encouraged himself in the Lord. I wonder many times when everything comes against us, if we can bring something out of us that encourages our heart. Our ears need to hear what's going on. Something within our heart. And listen, I sure don't feel like encouraging myself and speaking the words that need to come out from inside. But as I do, I'm amazed to find out what's in there, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And he began to encourage. Then he inquired of the Lord. Listen, if you don't encourage your heart in the Lord, you can inquire of the Lord, and all you're doing is worrying out loud. Have you ever done that? I have. I've got done praying at times and thought, I just worried out loud. I didn't encourage my heart in the Lord. I didn't see how big it was. I just described how big my problem was to him. And now I need to go back, get encouraged, and pretty soon, when I get encouraged in the Lord, then I can tell my problem how big my God is. And what he can do. You say, well, Pastor, is that just hype? Is that just emotion? Better not be. Now, emotion and hype is okay to a point. But it's devotion to the God that I love. But even more to the God that loves me. I have to understand how much he loves me. So many times, we push that away because we know what we're not, don't we? We push it away because we don't feel we should be that loved. And we push it away because we're looking at the value we put on ourselves rather than the value that Jesus Christ put on us to give his life for us. I want to encourage you to awaken to the high expectation of what God will do and enter into the battle of life and see what God's grace will do. David was able to go and recover it all because he encouraged his heart in the Lord, he inquired of the Lord, and then he went and did the fight and was able to win the victory that God intended for him. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. You're going to be happy about this. Get some joy in what you do, because that's the first thing that'll just sap your strength. Well, I don't know. I just don't. That'll kill all your joy. The joy of the Lord is what? The joy of the Lord is the strength of your salvation. If you don't have any joy, listen, it's the first thing that comes in a relationship, it's the first thing that goes, unfortunately. You lose joy in your heart. You lose joy with people that are close to you. Pretty soon, there's not much strength in that relationship at all. I tend to be a rather serious person. Sometimes I have a hard time just stopping and celebrating. I can move from one serious thing to the next serious thing and never celebrate the victory we just saw going through this time. Anybody here else? Anybody like that? You just go from one. And you know, I read in Scripture, there's times to celebrate. There's feast of celebrations. There's a time to rejoice in what God has done. I so rejoice about that combine this morning. I want to tell you, I got to give this to you, because when I was talking with Mike and we got talking about that combine, I want to tell you, the joy of the Lord hit me in the heart, and I got so happy about that. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit quickened the Scripture to me. It says, behold, I'll make you a sharp thrashing instrument, having teeth. You'll thrash the mountains and beat them small. You'll make the hills a shaft. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind will scatter them. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shall glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and the needy orphans in Cambodia seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth with thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I am the God of Israel. I'll open rivers in high places for those rice fields, and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I'll make the wilderness for those kids and widows a pool of water where they're able to live the life I want. That's the James Version. I tell you, the joy of the Lord. I couldn't help think. Amen. Hallelujah. Ah. God is so good, and I want to tell you something. That goodness and that grace helps us deal with our problems. And listen, those little kids are sharp, thrashing instruments. They've brought in a harvest of over 600,000 souls. And to be able to feed those little rice burners, as Pastor Chad says, and to see the joy of the Lord. Oh, I tell you, folks, there's so many people that sit around. There's a lot of grumpy children that miss the grace that God wants to embrace them Jesus said, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives peace, give I unto you." And he says, "Don't let your heart be troubled. Understand the goodness and peace and grace of God that he gives. Let it be real." Listen, I get concerned about people that are trying to get everybody worked out and perfected. I said a little bit ago about the Jewish man that said, why do Christians fight so much if they have Christ as the Prince of Peace? I received this from Rick Warren, because he really got hit with some things where people got all upset with him. And he said, "You know, I felt like I needed to just keep working like Nehemiah. I'm doing a great work. I can't answer all my critics." And matter of fact, he said, "Every time I try to answer my critics, they get more angry and more upset with me." But he responded and he sent this letter. He says, "Because I value you, I agree." He said, "I agree to do an interview to correct the errors about an article that was sent." And this is something, I don't know if you've ever heard anything about Krishnam, of what it is that they're saying we're trying to bring Christianity and Islam together, and they attribute that to Rick Warren. And the reason they do that is the fact that one of his elders met with a Muslim man and a rabbi, and they talked together about what they have that's the same. And they believe in a monotheistic God or one God. They agreed on that. Now, when it's reported in the news, it was reported that they believed in the same God. That's what the news does with that. And boy, have they had a heyday with that. They reported that they made a covenant and all of this, and they're a tribute. And it's two people meeting together that care about reaching Muslim people. I want to tell you, I went down to the community college. I met with a Muslim, a rabbi, and a Lutheran pastor. And we discussed our differences. You know why? God loves them. God cares about them. Will we compromise? Absolutely not. But I want to tell you something. If you ever do anything for the Lord, there will be criticism. Amen? And I want to tell you, things like this really break my heart. I've sat and listened to this man. I've listened to his heart. You see that little sign out there says, "One more for Jesus." That's what he desires from the day that his dad spoke that to him on his deathbed. And you know, when I see those things, I think, "Oh, gosh, folks. Well, what if Rick Warren did get off?" One of the things I want to say to your loved ones, you'll not give an account for Rick Warren, for Jimmy Swaggart, for Ted Haggard. My heart breaks for anybody that ever gets off that's done something great for God. Amen? It really does. But do you know something? I don't ever look at the accused. I look at the accuser first. Amen? Now think about this for a minute, because the news comes out and says this. I'm going to check out who's saying it rather than the one who it's being said about. Because somewhere I read that there's an accuser of the brother. Yeah. And how quickly we can pick up on that sometime. I hope I'm all right to say this to you. Because, you know, some of these things really, one of the reasons I think churches don't do much is they're afraid somebody will criticize them. And it usually is not from the world. It's brothers and sisters get at one another. Amen? The enemy loves that. I'm going to take a chance. Pastor Jim said that I could do this, all right? This is another scripture. The Apostle Paul one time, he said, "Now I say this, not the Lord, I say this." And then he injects something. So I better give the Lord a little bit of room here and say, this may be a James version too, you know. But when I say that, I look at the fruit. Because Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. "Lord, in trouble they visited thee. They poured out in prayer when the chastening was on them." That is, the people were in trouble. They went running to the Lord. "And it was like a woman with a child that draweth near the time of her deliverer, and is in pain, and cried out for pangs, and so have they been in the sight of the Lord." But here's the comment. We've been with child, we've been in pain, We've had, as it were, brought forth wind, but we have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. No deliverance in the earth was brought forth. They came only when they were in trouble. They travailed as a woman in birth, but they didn't give birth. They only passed wind. Now hang on a minute. It's slowly getting to you. They thought they had fruit, and it was only a tooth. Now, for my generation, that's about as far as I can go. I had to gulp a little bit when Pastor Jim said, don't let the door hit you with a good Lord split you. I asked him about this last night, and he said, oh, I think you're all right. But I see people travailing that come to the Lord, and they're travailing, and what they produce will never be anything. Could I go one further step, one step further? Well, it stinks. And the world smells it. And the world smells it. And there's people that watch that and make decisions about our Savior based on this. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. I pray God help us. Amen. And if you're offended at what I just said, forgive me, okay? But I want you to know this is a real deal. These things set heavy on my heart. Listen, I feel bad when I see anybody fall, but I'm not their judge. Amen? And Jesus worked with that. And however we judge, we'll be judged. But I thank God for every person. I thank God for Rick Warren that wrote A Purpose-Driven Life. It's the biggest selling book, hardcover book, except the Bible in the whole world. Thank God for that. I thank God that he has a baptismal service where he baptizes 400 at a time. I'm thankful for a church of 24,000 people. I know what he preaches. He preaches the good news of the gospel about Jesus Christ. Does he care about Muslim people? Absolutely. I do too. I want to tell you, I'll become all things for all men, that by all means we might be able to reach some. Every soul is precious in God's sight, and we need to do everything we can. It's not about Muslims, it's not about different races, and not about, listen, there's an enemy that so wants to divide us in everything that we do. But listen, if we get to where we don't understand truth, and we're so busy about, listen, I don't want to be a 20th century Pharisee. I don't want to sit on the sideline and pick out everything that's wrong. I want to get on with what's right, and one day I'll stand before God and I'll give an account for that, and you will too. And I want that to be a time that I can come and rejoice. And even if I make some mistakes along the way, I pray I got brothers and sisters to just get around me and hug me and love me and say, Jim, look and see what you're doing. I've had people tell me at times, I had one brother say to me, Jim, that's dumb, don't do that. He didn't say, Jim, you're dumb. He just, that was a bad decision, and he helped me. May we have the grace of God to understand that. You see, I'm a child of God. I'm a peacemaker. I'm a child of God, but I'm in a family. I'm not alone. I'm in a family where we can enjoy one another, and we can have strength, and we can laugh together, and we can cry together. And I'll tell you what, we can even have correction with no rejection. Amen? We can understand forgiveness that flows in his family. And I pray, Holy Spirit, help us understand that, because the real war, the nuclear power of words that come in this world, we need to understand how to deal with that, because many people never listen to any other words. They'll never listen to the Word of God, but they will listen to the words that we speak and what we speak about one another. I want to tell you, it's so important, Mom and Dad, how you talk about church in your home, because your children listen. It's so important that you understand that may have been the channel through which they would really come to Christ. It's so important how you talk about other Christians. You know, I always remember John Bryson used to sing that little song, gossip, gossip, evil things, much unhappiness it brings. If you can't say something nice, don't talk at all, was my advice. You remember him singing that? I wish I could sing. But you know that understanding. You see, you and I are called to gossip, but we're to gossip the good news of the gospel. And we got such good news. Everybody else has got so much, the mudbreaker kind of thing. But we have the living water that can flow. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, make that so real, that the Holy Spirit can awaken our heart and that we can really see what it is to have our tongue set on fire of heaven so we can tell the good news of the gospel. Romans 6:20, it says, the peace of God shall bruise Satan underneath your feet shortly. That's why Satan doesn't want us to have peace. Because see, the feet, that's where we are, folks. We're the body. And he fears the day that we'll have the kind of peace that we get together, that we work together like we did with Pastor Wayne, that other church. We're going to get that combine for those kids. We're going to do something. Maybe we can't do it all, and they can't do it all, but we can do it all. We can get together. We can pull together. Well, what if anybody messes up? Well, God can clean it up, and we can help one another. Amen? We can help get some of the gray cloth off if we have to. But it takes the power of love to do that. And may God help us to be able to see the true riches of relationships. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what I love. I want us to understand that power working in us. Let us follow after the things that make peace. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. Get the peace treaty out. And be sure that you're reminded of what God has to say. And all the things that Jesus could have said or done, he was always bringing peace wherever it could be. But it was just one person at a time. It's not universal peace. We're not going to see that, folks. Things are going to get worse. We're going to see a lot of things take place soon. But I want to tell you, if you have peace, you'll have power because you have the presence of the Prince of Peace. You have the person who is peace, Jesus Christ. Amen? Father, I've said this morning. And I pray that beyond anything I could say, that you weld our hearts together. Help us to be the body of Christ that you've called us to be, Lord. And God, I'm asking you by the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit, open our understanding, give us revelation of how much you love us, Lord. Sometimes, Lord, we try to tell you how much we love you. We always come short. We always come short. But Lord, would you just, in this church, the church that we say love is building, would you help us to understand in a new way how it is to be baptized in the love of God? That the love of God is shed abroad by the Holy Spirit, flooded, so that all of a sudden we have a new view of you loving us. And Lord, that will flow through and flush out the things of the flesh so we're free to love others and have a joy. And we don't have to correct and perfect everything. We need to understand that love will cover, not to hide, but to heal the hurt that's so prevalent because of sin in our society. My God, I pray today, let peace come in every person here by your presence. God, I pray that there will be those that will understand. Go home and put their Bible right in the center of the kitchen table. And the next time, Lord God, that peace seems to be gone, that will pull them back. Because that's the anchor, Lord, that holds us in all the storms. And I pray right now, if there's any person here today that you need the peace of God that passes understanding, it doesn't come from your head, it comes from your heart. You're here with that need today. You need the peace of God. And you know if the peace is in you, you can tell what comes out of your mouth, what's running through your mind, whether you got peace or not. You're here today and you don't have that. Would you slip your hand up? If you need to come to Christ today, would you slip your hand up? If you need Christ as your Savior, would you just slip your hand up? I'll just take a moment. God bless you, son. May the Holy Spirit reach out to you today, give you that peace your heart so seeks. My brother back here, there's a reason you were here today, because he had something to say to you. And I hope you'll say all that's in your heart to him, because he's waited a long time to hear everything that's down deep. And that's where he's going today. And that peace will pursue and do what you've longed for. Are there other hearts this morning? God bless you. May the peace of God be upon you, my sister. Are there other hearts? How many of you just say, I'm going to close my eyes to ask this. How many of you say, Lord, I really need to come back to your peace. I need to come back and realize how much I'm loved. Lord, I knew it, but Lord, I haven't been walking in it. And I'm asking you, not that you bring peace, you are peace. And I surrender to that. Just stick your hands up, both of them, surrender. Nobody looking. This is between you and Jesus. Lord Jesus, if you look upon hearts and lives here this day, I pray, by the power of your love, come and touch every heart. Release and bring peace as only you can do. I ask that. I thank you, Lord God, that you'll show up and show out of their life in a way, Lord God, that reminds them how much they're loved. And they'll be a peacemaker because, Lord God, they've been with you. And, Lord God, thank you that they will be able to go to those that are peacebreakers and bring the peace of God that passes understanding, that will pursue and do what you desire. I pray, ask and believe for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Would you stand with me, please? I really love the church family. You think I'm okay to leave that in the CD, or should I edit that out? Oh, bless your heart. You know, if we didn't have the love that we have here, we couldn't do a lot of things we do. Thank you, Jesus, for that love. Amen. Yeah. And I'm thankful for you. You're such a great gift, church family. I'm so glad to just be able to know and experience love with people like you. And I'm believing with all my heart for a fresh baptism of our understanding of how much we're loved. Amen? So I hope you'll just put a sign on your refrigerator. I am God's beloved, and look at it every day. Maybe it'd be good to even put that in where you shave, you know? Because sometimes it shocks me when I look in the mirror that time of day. But just to be reminded, you're loved. Would you hug about 50 people? Be sure and tell them you're really loved. Yeah. God bless you. Love you. See you tonight. God bless you, Sue.
Pastor Joshua and I went to a prison ride from.
Oh, did you? How'd that go?
We had 20.